This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The fight over voting maps in North Carolina continues. Democrats filed a formal objection to recently drawn state legislative maps. They claim one-third of those maps are still overly political. Another gerrymandering suit has been filed. This one takes aim at the state's congressional maps. The suit is spearheaded by Eric Holder's National Democratic Redistricting Committee. It claims the districts violate the state's constitution and calls for new ones by 2020. Also, media organizations file suit against North Carolina's Board of Elections to get voter data that was subpoenaed in a federal election fraud probe. We'll talk about this and much, much more with WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff Tiberi. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Frank.
Let's start with State Republican Party Chair Robin Hayes, expected to plead guilty in that bribery case tomorrow. Bring us up to date on that case.
That's right. This was something that exploded onto the political scene back in the spring. In March, there was a major bribery scandal involving Greg Lindbergh, a businessman from Durham, two of his associates, and Robin Hayes, the state chairman of the Republican Party at the time. Those were the four men who were indicted. And effectively, this was a federal investigation that uncovered, allegedly, this scheme to contribute a lot of money and donate it to Mike Causey, who was or is the insurance commissioner of North Carolina. And Hayes was involved in the movement of this money and the deal making, if you will. So Hayes was one of the four people who was indicted back in the spring. And what this means, his guilty plea, is that he is turning state's witness and that he is going to cooperate with prosecutors as part of that agreement. It's our understanding early on, we've not heard directly from Hayes at this point, but rather than facing years and years, or I suppose even more than a decade in prison, he is likely looking at no time in prison to 6 months in prison. But of course, some of that is going to depend upon how his cooperation goes with federal investigators of this wealthy man, Greg Lindbergh, who tried to buy some access as it has been laid out in the federal indictment.
Right. So let's, and to be clear, it's Greg Lindbergh, the donor, a businessman, Durham businessman, and one of the biggest contributors to the Republican Party in the state, accused of bribing, essentially offering money for campaign money for Causey's campaign. By the way, Causey was the one who blew the whistle on this. And right now, Robin Hayes' role and the guilty plea that's expected tomorrow is about lying to the FBI in this investigation, right?
That is correct. Under this agreement, he will plead guilty to one count of lying to the FBI, but he would not face the full extent of the charges of what he was facing back in the spring when this all was uncovered.
And as you say, the other investigation into the actual bribery itself and the allegations against Greg Lindbergh, those continue, and now there's the possibility that Hayes is going to turn states with this plea agreement. We don't know yet.
That would be the indication, right? Like if he has cut a deal with the prosecutors and from what we gleaned from the plea agreement deal that is now out, he is going to cooperate with the federal investigators as they look further into Lindbergh. And again, the scope of this at this point is very much about, you know, Lindbergh's involvement in North Carolina. But of course, these investigations could lead to plenty of other things.
Right.
Lindbergh is a very wealthy man who has had he has a track record of donating a lot of money, large sums of money in several states.
All right. Let's talk about redistricting now. The state legislative maps ordered redrawn. The Republicans in the legislature have met the deadline. They redrew them. Democrats are not happy, at least with 19 of them, right?
That's right. Common Cause, which is the good governance group that successfully sued over partisan gerrymandering in the legislative annals, claims that 19 of the new 57 House districts are still too partisan, that the process by which lawmakers followed to establish these new maps is not adequate. And they are asking the three-judge panel, which originally struck down more than 70 legislative districts, Common Cause is asking the three-judge panel to redraw these districts districts themselves. They come from various parts of the state, some in the New Hanover, Wilmington region, some in Wilmington region. They're all groupings. The districts are tied to county groupings, which is far more complicated than we need to get into right now. But it's not as though these are just Wake County seats or just seats in the western reaches of the state. So Common Cause has asked the judges to look at these and redraw them with the help of a special map referee, which was part of the ruling that came down a month ago. Three judges said that they were going to lean on somebody that just had a much greater, deeper level of redistricting than they do with respect to the judges. So they're relying on a Stanford University professor, and he may or may not be involved in redrawing these 19 districts, but that's what Common Cause is asking for at this stage of the game. The defendants, the Republican lawmakers, have until Friday to respond to this request.
And then what's the next step in the process after that?
Good question.
I mean, the judges finally have to approve these things, right? They have to sign off on these, ultimately.
Well, they either have to approve them, or if there is some grave misstep in how they were passed,
right,
they could redraw them themselves.
Right.
But, I mean, yes, as we're heading toward an election, boundaries have to be established,
right,
so that an election can be held.
Yeah, that's what I meant, that ultimately they either sign off or redraw them, but they are the final arbiters in this process.
This is not the latest legislative spat over maps is not coming back to this building, to the General Assembly.
All right. Meanwhile, the congressional maps, which, you know, if you take a look at state representation voting patterns, there are far more Democratic voters than we have Democratic representation in the state of North Carolina. There's something crazy with those maps, but it may not be illegal. But then again, there's a lawsuit that says they might be illegal and wants the courts to take a look at the congressional maps, right?
Let's climb the ladder. So we were at the state, now we're going to go federal. There are 13 U.S. House seats in North Carolina. There are presently 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. And what the plaintiffs in this new lawsuit, this next round of litigation that has been filed, it's not Common Cause, we should note. It is the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, a group that was founded by President Obama and former Attorney General Eric Holder a couple of years ago. What they're saying, as we think about the 13 U.S. House seats, is that these districts are also partisan gerrymanders. They violate the state constitution. And this group, and also some Democratic operatives and attorneys and plaintiffs, voter plaintiffs, feel that the recent ruling at the legislative level emboldens them and makes their case even stronger. So what they're asking a 3-judge panel to do is to determine to strike down the U.S. House map. So it's they're hoping for a bit of a replay or a bit of deja vu when we think about what just happened with legislative districts.
A 3-judge panel in the state court system.
That is correct, because as listeners will remember, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled back in June that the issue of partisan gerrymandering is not an issue for the federal courts.
So that's interesting. That ruling then, if it were challenged at all, would then end up finally and go nowhere else at the state U.S. At the North Carolina Supreme Court would have final say on that.
They would potentially. But again, going back to this legislative litigation that we were just talking about, when the 3-judge panel struck down legislative maps in September, Republican lawmakers, the defendants, did have an appeal that they could have used. They could have said, hey, we appeal this ruling. Let's take it up to the state Supreme Court. But because the state Supreme Court has 6 Democrats and 1 Republican, that was large part of the reason they chose not to appeal it. So playing this thing out, it is possible that a challenge to congressional maps here in North Carolina could yield a similar result. And it's possible that Republicans would not appeal that.
All right. Well, we will stay tuned, of course. Hey, let's talk about this. We talked about election fraud in the state of North Carolina. Of course, we're covering those, the election fraud case here in our state that has already played out. WRAL and other local national news outlets are suing over voting records that apparently are part of a federal election fraud investigation. Tell us more about that.
That's right. And we should note that WUNC is one of the media outlets that is part of this local and national consortium that has sued, and that it wants these records released, because it is the position of us that this is covered by public records, and this is something that should come out, that should be available to the media. Now, we've heard from the State Board of Elections, the North Carolina Attorney General, who have said there's an exception to the public records law, but they have not provided really a detailed reason for that. So media outlets are hoping to force this force the release of these records in court.
So there's been some kind of federal investigation. These records have been subpoenaed at the federal level as part of this investigation. Media outlets, including WUNC, would like to know, what did you give them? What do we know about the investigation itself? Do we know much?
Well, we know that it focused on the Eastern District of North Carolina, the Eastern regions of North Carolina. So roughly a third of the counties in the state provided some level of data. There were also hundreds of voters from the state where there was data passed along. But beyond that, there are a lot of unknowns here.
All right. So more election fraud news may be on the way, and we may find out through our own research or when the federal investigation is complete and we know more. Meanwhile, speaking of Eastern North Carolina, the interim chancellor at East Carolina, Dan Gerlach, has been placed on leave after photos and videos appeared of him out with students. What's happening there?
This is something that broke over the weekend, pictures of Dan Gerlach socializing with, we believe, undergraduates. We don't know. We haven't confirmed that these are all students at ECU, but certainly appears that they are, some of them, all of them, are students from ECU. And videos and pictures made their way to the UNC Board of Governors. The interim UNC system president, Bill Roper, announced yesterday that Gerlach would be on administrative leave because of this. So we don't know much more than that in terms of what happened, but the response has been interesting. There's a petition that was started online by ECU students, now more than 10,000 signatures. The hashtag on Twitter, hashtag I Stand With Dan, has been gaining a lot of traction. And a lot of the people that have been pushing back have said that, you know, this is kind of a mischaracterization of who he has been in terms of being somebody who's sought to be out with the students at ECU.
Just trying to get to know the students. Jeff DeBerry, WUNC Capital Bureau Chief, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Just ahead, a deep dive into the legacy of Earl Scruggs and his music, and especially the Foggy Mountain Breakdown. Talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.